Well, we are back on Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Nathan Gobes, filling in for Jeffrey Davis. I've got Walter Sullivan with me, of course. We are in the weeds. And our next guest is Carolyn Frankel, owner of Caroline's Cannabis.
Thank you for having me.
And you're going to love this person, Nathan.
Yeah.
I mean, first general applicant to receive a retail license in cannabis.
Wow.
First woman applicant to receive a retail license.
Congrats.
She had a signed business before then. Carolyn, why don't you explain? Well, explain the first business you started, and then we'll get into the cannabis.
Thank you, Walter. So I consider myself a first-generation Massachusetts recreational cannapreneur. So, stay-at-home mom. People who have kids, you're home a lot, right? So I started this business creating wood signs and about spreading the kind word of cannabis. Which put me at a platform where I could be at all these trade shows, right, and position myself as a retailer. So that's where I really got started and met, tons of different owners. And you can find my signs in almost every medical dispensary in the state right now. Mm-hmm. So it's been a really exciting opportunity for me. And then from there, I started buckling down and really focusing on putting my business together and putting my putting my store together and, mm-hmm. and really positioning myself as a retailer in the state.
Now you go from making signs as a retailer,
right,
to now becoming the first woman-owned general applicant,
yep,
to receive a final license to be a marijuana retailer.
Yeah.
How did you decide to go that way? And
right,
what was the success in getting you to where you
are today? I'm a 20-year enthusiast myself, so I believe in my product. But that's what I did. When you started to see on the West Coast, it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Medical, and then you could see the rec was changing on the West Coast, and it was going to happen here in Massachusetts. So at that point, I started studying, following applications, what was happening in Colorado, what was happening in Oregon, and really creating a business plan at that point, way before the application even came out in this state. And so I was ready. When June 1st came, my application was immediately in, like stayed up that night and hit submit. I was ready. I've really stayed focused and just have studied the industry on a full-time basis.
In a lot of respects, you did this on your own.
I did.
Other hired lobbyists, lawyers, and so forth.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with hiring a lobbyist
or
a lawyer.
No, trust me on that.
You really did this truly on your own.
Truly on my own, and all on my own merit, and it's completely passion-driven for me. I knew I needed a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Started to interview some big firms in Boston and got quoted some really big numbers, $120,000 and up. And I looked at that as a barrier and something I needed to overcome. I could not spend that money. That would be pretty much it for me.
Yeah.
So I took a different approach. I buckled down. And to date, I've spent about $10,000 on legal.
That's not good for me, but
right?
I give you a lot of credit.
But I've done it all myself. It's amazing. Asking questions where I can, and people have been really supportive of my business efforts. So, very exciting for me.
Now, talk about your store. It's not a 3,000 square foot store.
No,
it's not,
right? And that's what it's about. So people are always asking me, Carolyn, how can you afford to do this, right? It's about picking a store and a project that's within scale of what you can afford. My store is 500 square feet. I've currently been paying a lease on a property for a year. So there's a lot there. And because I picked a smaller property where it's a smaller build out, I've been able to do this and kind of chip away at the dream over the year to get to be, a full store build out right now and ready to open the doors
now,
next month.
How do you make 500 square feet work?
You can, though.
No, that's what I wanted to add.
You can, because it's just a retail environment, right? There's no vertical integration. You walk in, you're going to see three POS systems, and then we have a limited access area in the back where we're, kind of preparing and doing our thing in the back. But I have right now 10 employees, and it's 5 employees a shift. So it's a small store, mm-hmm. and we expect to serve about 300 to 500 customers a day.
And how many? Wow. And what do you think your variety can be in that size? Or it's really because of the size of cannabis, it's really not as big as people think you need for space.
It's really not, these are new stores, but as the trajectory starts to go down, right, it's going to be, I think, these smaller stores that are going to be able to really hold a grip. in this industry, because you're going to see 3-4 stores in every community. Mm-hmm. This is how I've been able to do it. I picked a project to scale. So people who are listening, who are small business owners, that's really my recommendation. Don't rent 6,000, 7,000 square foot places, because you're going to have, there's more, you just have to put so much more money into it.
Yeah.
Now, applying for a license is only part of the equation. You also have to work with the community. You need a host community agreement.
Yeah.
And you need the community outreach meeting. Now, with that, you're a single mom, stay-at-home mom. Excuse me, not single, a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
She's lucky with her husband, who I know well. But how were you able to convince the town, we have all these big guys coming in.
Yeah, honestly, and I think that's been the recipe for my success, is being, when I went to town, I'm the one presenting. It's not my legal team.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very transparent relationship with the Board of Select and with people in the community. If you're a small, this is the American dream, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people really get behind my work. But you're talking about somebody who would do mock community hearings in their basement, invite all their friends over, and really just practice and rehearse for these big events. I did my community outreach meeting in April of last year, which was way ahead of the curve, and was the first one in my in Uxbridge to do one. And honestly, 12 people showed up, eight were my friends. So it's been really good. I had my host community agreement signed on May 21st, and the board was in full support. It was a unanimous vote. Things are going really, really well. But I think it's because, I'm up there, it's passion driven. You can see my excitement in it. The towns weren't threatened by my presence. So really, it's been the recipes for my success. Yeah.
Now, you will be the first store open that doesn't have a vertically integrated system.
Nothing.
Which leads to issues of potentially, are you going to have product available?
Yeah.
How have you been working on really reaching out to the different entities that exist that are already cultivating and manufacturing?
Right. It's a tough list. If you look at the CC list right now, it's short on who I actually can supply my store and who has a commencement license. So it's been a really tough game. I have been working and trying to get in the door with everybody who I can over the past year. So it's been really tricky. I have some great people and some great companies who are in support of my business efforts. But it's tough, especially with flour right now. That's always my main concern. And getting enough supply in my store to really be able to, supply Uxbridge and the surrounding Blackstone Valley community.
And I think, the same approach you've taken with the towns is the same approach you take
Absolutely.
With the cultivators. I know from your banker, who I won't mention, but she felt the same way about you, in the sense, I think that's what's opened the door for you, is the ability, you are who you are.
Right.
Even
all the way to where I started with the real estate game. When you talk to other people who are trying to rent real estate to, cultivators, and it's lawyers calling, mm-hmm. Lobbyists and all these big, versus someone like me going door to door like, hey, you want to rent me a space? It's me. I'm the owner. I'm the one who's actually going to rent it. It's really pushed me farther.
How hard was it to find space?
It's tough. I probably looked at, I'd say about 50 spaces, had a good dialogue with a few people who were right there to rent to me. But it's a very, very tricky game. And if you're somebody who, doesn't own the property and you have all these loans that are federally funded, it's trickier. But my landlords are great, younger guys, totally in support of what I want to do. And, from a real estate perspective, it's a great opportunity.
It draws attention.
Oh, my God.
And you're right off Route 146.
Off 146. I'm three buildings right off 146. So I'm on Route 16. Great location. We're going to do really, really well.
what if you do it over again, what would it be like in some of the processes you went through?
That's a tough question. This has been, there's been a lot of barriers that I've had to overcome, but I really don't have anything that I think I could have done better or would have changed. I think I took, I really sat back and thought about each and every step I had to take.
You're basically the book that talks about you can't go under, you can't go over,
right?
You read to your child, you got to go through.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. I didn't have all these people I had to answer to and investors and they, mm-hmm. it was me. It was up to me and my success. So, yeah.
What would you advise someone in your shoes to do?
In my shoes to do? Who are just getting into it?
Just getting into this.
Honestly, start writing your business plan. It's absolutely everything. When I started this, 6 years ago, and now I'm here today. I mean, I'm probably working on my 20th or 30th revision of my business plan. Mm-hmm. But it's everything. It's your story to the town. It's your story. You know, you have to fine tune your craft if you want people to take you seriously in the industry.
I find that true. I tell all my clients, you got to have a story.
You got to have a story, and you got to have a passion about it. And if you can communicate that and share that in the industry, I just think you're going to get so far. And it's amazing. Since I've received my final, so many people have reached out to me. How'd you do this? And how'd you do that?
And you're trying to build out your facility.
Right. I'm trying to build out my facility. Exactly. There's a lot of small businesses out there who are trying to, you know, find their foothold in the industry. But it's really about buckling down and just staying focused.
Well, I think you're an amazing story on how someone all on her own did it, in that it can be done, but you have to follow the rules and you have to understand.
You
can't just walk in and think people are going to give you something. You have to have a business plan.
You have to be prepared. It's everything. And you have to know the regulations. And because if you're expecting the towns and these communities to know what the regulations are with the state, they don't. They're looking for you to educate them as well. You really have to be fine-tuned to be able to go down this really, really long road.
And you've been on the road for a long time. Very successful at it.
Thank you.
Might not, you know, probably sometimes it didn't seem that way, but I think to watch you when they gave you the final license and the video you were doing, and someone else was doing a video of them announcing it.
Yeah, it was a really big deal. Emotional for me. Professional level, this has been a big moment for me.
And I think for the industry to see, hey, wow, look at what she accomplished.
Yep. And I think that's what it's all about, right? I think everybody knows that what's going to make it successful in Massachusetts is really creating diversity in terms of business.
Mm-hmm.
In that terms, I have everybody's support on my backside, so it's great.
And I think the size you went to is like, you don't need to be 3,000 square feet, you know. Look at it from what you can handle what you can afford.
Exactly.
I mean, you can grow it later if you want.
Yeah. Oh, right. So the possibilities are endless as you get going, right? As long as you can get your foot in the door and grab some, you know what I mean.
And that will give you capital to open other Caroline's cannabises.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, people try to get in and like, oh, we're going to do these huge grows and we're going to do this. But it's, if you're a small business owner, you have to scale back.
Yeah, you can't shoot for the moon.
You can't shoot for the moon right out of the gate. It's just not going to happen.
And people don't buy pie in the sky because they know you can't. It's like you only can offer what you know you can do.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's been great having you, Caroline. If anyone wanted to reach you and maybe get, find Caroline's Cannabis, how do they do that?
So it's bekind@carolinescannabis.com. And I hope everybody comes, checks out.
And what's your address?
Sure. 640 Douglas Street, Uxbridge, Massachusetts. And I hope everybody comes, checks out my little cannabis boutique store.
This has been Radio Entrepreneurs with Walter Sullivan. And we'll be back after these messages.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Walter.
In.